Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory. Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we're just going to answer some rando questions that have come up in the group or things
well,
that...
I like doing this because what happens sometimes is I think, you know, I see them and I think about them and I don't want to just answer them in the...
Right, it's nice to put them everywhere.
Because I would have to write like a novel to answer them probably.
Yeah, and it's good to put them here too.
Right. Well, and then they pile up and I forget them.
Well, and...
Right.
We republished an episode last week because I was like kind of exposed to COVID. I was negative. Thanks for all your kind thoughts.
But we believe she was exposed to COVID.
Yeah,
but maybe she really wasn't. But we got tested.
We were being really careful. You know, okay, we're just being real careful. So anyway, we republished our first ever episode, Thread With Your Presser Foot Up, and we think we've been saying it, you know, all these years, and we got a very nice note from Stephanie.
A really long note,
and she
a
was
really
like,
grateful
Thank
note.
Thank you so much for publishing this episode because, you know, you'll talk about it occasionally, and it fixed my problems.
Right.
So,
well, and,
yay.
And, you know, when we get one response that's positive, there's probably more people out there that just haven't written in that were glad that they heard it.
So we're glad that reminder was at least helpful to one person. We've only rebroadcasted or like missed a week twice in 5 years of podcasting.
Yeah.
And so I guess this is it's like what we do every couple years. If we have to miss a week as we rebroadcast the first episode, it's our tradition.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
So that's what we do.
Well, and it's hard, you know, even when we had a storefront, it was hard that, you know, Thread With Your Presser Foot Up. I'm trying to think, you know, some other, you know, always check your needle position, you know, all
Make
all
sure
these
your needle's
things.
High enough.
Right,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah,
is
yeah.
your needle in the high? You know, all these things we would tell people to do. And you think you've said them 5 million times. And you have. You just haven't particularly said it to that person.
Well, also,
you know,
I've said this before. I'll say it again. We get to sew a lot.
Right.
A lot of the people who are listening to our podcast, it's like, you know, a hobby that they get to do sometimes.
Right.
And for my hobbies that I get to do sometimes, I need... reminders, refreshers, good coaching,
well,
et cetera,
and someone
right?
could have, right, someone could have listened to the episode and didn't sew for a while, and then it was sort of, you know, right.
So we're happy to be here.
In the back of the file cabinet.
We're happy to be here to tell you to thread with your presser foot up. And thank you for the nice note, Stephanie. Our first question that we're going to answer is, why are PDF and print patterns sold separately?
And I'm not even sure I know exactly what that question means.
Oh,
I mean,
well, sure.
It means you have a choice, right? Like you can buy the pattern as a PDF or you can buy it as printed.
I guess the question is, if I buy this as a printed pattern, why can't I just get the PDF for free?
Also.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
I think
that's probably the question.
Right. The question, because like, why is it, you know, why are they separate or, you know, why can't
I? If I own one, I should own them all. They're the same thing.
Right. Right. Why can't I?
All right, Mallory,
have
why?
That? Okay. So, I, until very recently, like an hour ago, did some work for Cashmere Patterns.
Right.
lovely, lovely company. Just amazing. I highly recommend their products. And Jenny and team are just beautiful people all around. So go to cashmere.com if you have not ever heard of their patterns. They do really cool stuff. And yeah, they're wonderful. So anyway, I was doing some work for them, and some of the work I was doing was processing and creating these patterns. And so I really got to see the work that went into printed and PDF patterns.
You really saw the difference from the inside out.
Yeah. And so I we have patterns that are only PDF, okay? So I designed them, created them, put them in a printable format where people can print them at home, or they can send them away to be printed.
Right.
Okay. So Cashmerette, they get their patterns printed. You can buy them on tissue paper, just like the big four.
Right.
Okay. Well,
traditional way.
Yeah, sort of the more traditional way of buying it. And they sell through their website. They sell through independent pattern, you know, excuse me, independent sewing stores, you know.
Right.
So anyway, they produce both of those things. And actually, fun fact, this has nothing to do with Cashmered and public knowledge, but like the only place that prints those sewing patterns.
Now
had an outage that lasted like 7 months, and every sewing pattern, any and every sewing pattern was printed at this facility. I'm talking Big Four. I'm talking, you know, Cashmered, Closet Core, the Craft Industry Alliance did an article on it. You know, this is like the only place that did it. So they had an outage, like
something happened where they were down.
Yeah, like a security breach.
Okay. Oh,
you know, something weird. Like they were hacked, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And no one could get their patterns printed. So it was crazy.
That's really horrible.
Actually, they are now closed. And they have like another facility that prints like in a different way on like different paper. And they pieced out their machines. They parted them out.
Mm.
Didn't sell them to anybody.
So
nobody could like buy them and take it over.
So are patterns being
printed? No, they can be printed, but it's in like it's a different format now or something. Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay.
But I can buy an envelope with a printed pattern in it.
Yeah, you can buy an envelope with a printed pattern.
It may or may not be available, the one
so
I want.
Why, when you know, when you go to Closet Core and you buy their printed pattern, why can't you just get the PDF for free or a Cashmered or whatever, you know? Well, the reason is it takes a lot of work to prepare those files. They're different. They're so different.
Okay, so that was my next question. Are they different files?
They are different
files. So what you're printing at your local stationery store or at home or whatever, your office store, is not the same
as
set
the file
of files that they're taking at this big industrial plant.
Sending to the printer. You got it. So labor-wise, there's different labor that goes into creating those files and then, you know, QAing those files, right? Quality assurance, all that. And then there is the investment. If a pattern company wants to print their patterns on paper, they can't just print like 200 or 20, right? They have to order a huge...
Like 1,000 or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Whatever.
You know, some huge inventory.
So they have to pay for inventory and have it sitting there till you
sitting
buy
there,
it, basically.
Paying rent somewhere,
right.
You know, whether they've got it in their house or in a warehouse or, you know,
right,
whatever.
In their basement or, in their barn.
Exactly. They are truly two different products.
Wow.
So, you know, when you really dig into the business processes behind that, it is, I just want to tell you all, if you've ever wondered, you know.
They know this.
Yeah.
They know that. They like figured this answer out to this question before we ever asked it.
And it's completely, I just want to say, it's just completely justifiable that so you need to think about this when you're buying.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may... I always vacillate. Okay, well, if I buy this PDF, I have it right now. Well, you have it right now, but then you got to, like, get it
but
printed.
But then you have to get it printed.
Or you have to print it or whatever, you know. So one or the other. And then, okay, well, if I order the tissue, then I have to wait.
Right.
Okay, you know. So you need to kind of think about this. And then once you own that PDF, you get to print it forever.
Are they the same price?
No. See, this is the other thing. I think pattern companies are pretty nice for pricing their PDFs lower.
They are.
So, you know.
Because the work behind them is pretty.
And in fact, most.
The development behind them, anyway.
Right. The most PDF patterns will come in a few different formats. You know, the print at home or the copy shop. So technically, they're taking a little more. They're taking a little more time to do. But. And, you know, you have to pay as a company, like we have to pay for website hosting in order to host those files. So it's not, you know, just because it's not something you hold in your hand doesn't mean it doesn't cost to store and maintain. So good question. Why aren't they the same price and or are they a different
and
price?
And why don't you get both with the price of one?
So I would say that really my preferred method to receiving a pattern – maybe, would be to buy the PDF, get it printed at a copy shop, because I like the heavier paper. I really do.
I was going to say, I think I would rather have the heavier paper also. You know, I always liked...
when Quixo had it.
When Quixo had the heavy, ones, paper. Right, and... Because I'm also on Team Trace.
Yeah, well, okay. You know. So then I would trace.
So I really liked them, yes.
Yeah, so then I would trace on that.
Very upset when,
Oh, yeah, when they went to
they
tissue.
They switched to tissue.
Agreed, totally.
Well, and that was because they were purchased.
And
the company was purchased.
So they were purchased, and then they were like, wow, this is more expensive, and it's heavier. And
right.
I mean, can you imagine the cumulative effect, though, of like.
We have some that are, what, 20, 30 years old that. We're folded and refolded that, like, they are, like, falling apart at the fold lines and we've had to tape them together and things
so,
like that.
So I think that my preferred way, buy the PDF, get it printed. And then when you get it printed, depending on where you're getting it printed and shipping and all that jazz, you do end up, your cost goes up to the price of a paper pattern.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But then you can trace, you can get it reprinted if you wish. Okay,
right.
you know, you can, so.
So if you're not Team Trace and you cut it out.
Right.
You can get, and then, you know, 3 years later, your body is a different shape, different size, whatever. You can get it printed again.
You could, yeah, you could
print
it.
You don't have to pay the original purchase price of the pattern.
Yes. So I just do want to let people know that the work that goes into creating this, you know, PDFs versus the printed, it's different. You know, of course, the pattern pieces get developed and you're getting the same, you know, final pattern pieces. But they are different things, and that is why they're sold separately. So just so you know, that's what goes on. Now, a lot of companies will, you know, if they have errors or something, you know, and you can prove
they'll
that
they'll send you a
So if you can prove that you purchased the paper pattern, they'll send you a PDF like updated file, which is nice too. And I think that's a nice thing about the indie pattern companies is that they do stuff like that.
I don't
think that like if I emailed McCall's about that pattern that I cut out that was mislabeled. they would send me a PDF, you know. So anyway, that can be very nice. But yeah, that was a cool learning time for me. And yeah, huge props to Cashmerette. Go browse their patterns, especially if you have a full bust. So that's their deal is they started out as a plus size company and they are catering to people who have a full bust. Now in sizes, their size range 0 to 32.
Wow.
So they've got these
very nice
two size ranges and they're catering to those larger busts. In fact, you are like, what did we decide? You're like an 8GH or something like that, size 8 with a GH cup. So pretty cool. Okay. So that was probably a good thing because I think we do have some people who are, well, like you, you know, we talked about PDF patterns. Like I answered that question, I don't know, a couple months ago. And that's not really how you've bought patterns and not how you consume patterns nowadays, you know.
Well,
so
I
can be new to people.
Right.
And you don't buy a lot of new patterns.
And what's happened with me is I started drafting patterns and I don't buy patterns.
And now ZD just wears leotards and leggings all the time. And that's all.
That's true, too. I mean, but I really don't buy patterns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about our next question from the group.
Hey friends, hey, the Stitch Please podcast is about to publish its 100th episode. That's right, 100 episodes. As part of the celebration, we are launching 100 by 100 to help us get 100 more Patreon supporters by the 100th episode publication date on September 15th, 2021. 100 additional Patreon supporters would give us the financial stability we need to hire editorial and production help. You can find the links to our Patreon in the show notes. Thank you so much for considering this, and thank you, current and future Patreon supporters.
It's time. time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Okay, this was a question from Quinn. Oh, it wasn't. Well, it was in April. It wasn't that long ago.
And it was April of this year.
April of this year, it says.
That's not that long ago.
Quinn posted this, like, super voluminous, you know, dress that she was going to make out of silk organza. She posted, like, an inspiration picture. And her question was, I'm making a dress out of silk organza. I need to wash it as I'd like to hand wash the dress I end up making. I would normally just wash it how I'd wash the final garment, but washing it in my bathtub sounds like such a pain. It's a 10-yard roll. So what if I just wash it on cold in the washing machine and let it air dry? Am I going to ruin my fabric? How have you pre-washed and dried your organza in the past, and how has it turned out? Photo of my inspo for attention. Yeah, she posted the photo. So she's going to make this dress. She's got 10 yards of this stuff. And what I recommended was washing a sample of it.
Right.
Instead of washing the whole 10 yards.
Right.
Right. And seeing what happens. Now, what we just discussed, I said, cut off a yard and wash it.
Right.
See what happens. And you were like, oh, or you could cut off 2 yards and wash them 2 different ways and right. See what happens. Now, when I say sample, you can't, like, wash a 4-inch square.
You can't wash. You know, right. You can't wash a third of a yard or 10 inches or 12 inches. It's not going to tell you what's really going to happen.
You got to do a big.
You really have to, because especially if it takes it out of square really bad or something like that, you won't notice it. Or here's the other thing. Sometimes when you wash a small sample, it will take it out of square.
So
and a larger sample won't.
Derek and I are looking at a new washer and dryer. We got a really good. Well, we got, you know what? That's like 6 years old. I know. But
whatever.
It's that front loading washer. I think they're just pieces of crap. Okay. And they were cheap. You know, the whole thing. I'll just tell you all how much I paid for my washer and dryer. I think they were under $1,000 together.
About that one.
Because it was like Black Friday. Right. Zelda was a baby. Yeah. So they're like 6 years old.
Right.
Okay. And yes, they. Like, washers and dryers should totally last longer than that, but I don't like the way that this washer is performing. So everyone in my life is telling me to get a Speed Queen. Okay, Speed Queen this, Speed Queen that, Speed Queen's amazing, right. Blah, 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 blah. Well, Derek is always very skeptical of everything, and of course then he goes to the New York Times to see if that's actually the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's
his
always,
Bible.
Yeah. Got to check with the New York Times. I tell Derek, you can leave bread in the freezer and get it right out and toast it. He's like, what? I don't know. And then he sends me a New York Times article 2 months later that says that. And I was like, well, I could have written this article. I already told you this.
My mother told me that when I was four.
The New York Times has to tell you everything. Okay. Well, the New York Times had a piece on freaking Speed Queens, okay?
I can't believe they had a piece on frozen bread.
Yeah. Well,
oh, my God.
Content is king, right?
Yeah, okay. Oh, my gosh.
And so, anyway, what they're saying in this article is that Speed Queens are too rough on clothes, and they are like a laundromat, apparently, grade washer and dryer. Maybe they're not the best choice. They use a lot of water. But the sample they showed, this was like their test.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it couldn't have been 4 inches by 4 inches of like some kind of loosely woven. I mean, it kind of looked like
burlap or something.
Well,
or, yeah.
So like half step tighter than burlap.
Like something you would never wear.
Yeah. Or you'd freaking have finished edges. They were unfinished edges they washed it and they showed how much it frayed. And I, you know, he sends me like a screenshot or no, he sent me the article and I sent him a screenshot of that. And I'm like, this is kind of stupid. Right. This is kind of a dumb,
you know,
test, in my opinion.
Okay, so, I mean, this is a little bit, I guess we're taking a tangent.
We're taking a
Hello.
Tangent.
We're making a left. The one thing that in one, it certainly several years of my life that I knew about was sewing machines and sergers, right? I knew about every single make.
Yeah.
I knew every single model. This was before there was 4,000 models, you know,
right.
And they changed them every 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway.
And they just changed the name.
And then sometimes they just changed the name or the
one
color.
One thing, the color,
the name
yeah.
Or like the color of the top. That's always real good. But anyway, so someone brought in, you know, this article. And said, it says this about this machine and this, you know, so I'm going to look at, you know, the baby lock or whatever,
yeah.
Right? And there was some good information, but it was obvious that this was written by someone, I think it was Consumer Reports.
Consumer
Reports, let me tell you.
I don't know
that.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I know. The person who wrote the article
didn't sew.
Did not sew.
Yeah.
They didn't even describe things properly. Yeah. And then they talked about things on the serger that didn't even exist. They were, you know, and I was like, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Because this woman really believed in this magazine.
Sure.
You know, and I thought, now I don't know how they are on cars. Maybe their car person is better.
Right.
But, you know, here's the thing. Their car person is probably a car person. Their sewing machine person is probably the sewing machine person and the vacuum cleaner person and the iron person and the home person.
And lots of people drive cars, too.
Right.
Lots of people have daily interactions with cars.
That's what I'm...
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes. You know, and so I thought, you know, you just got to take it for what it's worth sometimes. It might not always be correct.
Right.
You know,
people do trust us. Brienne just bought a baby lock Aria.
I saw that. She said she drank the Kool-Aid.
Here, let's get a little clap. Yay. Congratulations on your new baby.
She said she drank Kool-Aid.
Your new baby lock. So now every time we say baby lock, let's say it a la Moira shit.
Hola, baby lock.
That's not her last name.
Moira.
What's their last name?
It's not Schitt's Creek.
Why can't I remember their last name?
Right, they have a different last name.
Oh my God!
It was their relative that was named Schitt's.
I feel like such an idiot.
Yeah,
oh my God!
I don't know.
Rose.
Duh.
Moira Rose. Yeah, so I'll be like,
so baby lock.
Her new baby lock.
Baby lock.
Okay, so Consumer Reports, and yeah, I'm like, well, if I threw, first of all, I kind of didn't believe that the other washers and dryers were actually like that gentle on this unfinished square of loosely woven cloth.
Well, especially considering what it was.
Yeah,
right,
I'm just like, we don't wash things like that. Like,
right.
And this was dumb. This was stupid. You know, it made me kind of angry. But there were other things. So I have not completely drunk the Speed Queen Kool-Aid.
Okay.
But, well, and partially the water thing is an issue. So they apparently didn't sell to consumers for a few years because it didn't meet, like, the EPA requirements,
right.
And then they put like a cycle in that met it, and they called it like the EPA cycle,
yeah.
And they were like, but you don't have to use this, so they
you can override it.
They were like getting around the regulations, right. I'm like, cool. So I'll do some more research, but yes, dude, I hate my stupid washer right now. Hate it.
We're talking about Consumer Reports and things like that.
And we're supposed to be talking about Quinn's.
Okay, but also, sometimes there are things you know because you've known them all your life or you grew up with them and you have experienced them, correct?
Yeah.
So I want to tell you what your dad said to me.
Uh-huh.
So we have peach trees, right? And I was actually gone when the harvest happened. Hallelujah for me. And Mallory harvested all these peaches, right?
Well, and the kids and Derek.
Well, right. And so not all of them were ripe or as ripe as we would have liked them to be to make jam and I'm making jam and chutney. I don't know what you're making. You're making a peach pie, I'm sure.
I don't know. Yeah, some.
But anyway, or peach pie filling.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, so, you know, we split these peaches up between the three of us and all this. And so I have these three bags of peaches in brown grocery bags sitting on our counter. And the reason I have three is because the peaches were kind of small, medium, and large.
Yeah, you size-classified.
So I actually sized them. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to ripen, so I put them in these bags, and then I rolled the top of the bag down, right?
Right.
And your dad comes in, and he says, "What is that?" And I'm like, "Oh, those are the peaches. I wanted them to ripen up a little bit, you know, before I started on jam or whatever." And he says, "Oh, so did you read about doing that on the internet?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "No. I've done this all my life."
She learned it in Girl Scouts.
Yeah, well, that happens. But
no.
I was like,
"Oh, we know it happens."
No, my mother put fruit in a bag.
My mother
wanted to
put bread in the freezer. Here, this is.
She also put bread in the freezer.
Just ZD and
so
me bitching about her husband.
So you've learned that.
You know?
But I just think it's funny that he thinks like I didn't know about this until yesterday when I looked it up on the internet or something. There is some information that you have. And like I said, you've experienced it, so you know
okay,
it
but
works.
Sometimes you do read about
right.
things on the internet.
Oh, no. You know, and sometimes I look up what I know to see, like, why it works or
if changed.
It's really, yeah, or somebody's got another idea that's easier or whatever. Anyway, they are quite ripe right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, Derek, here, I'll just complain one more time about, well, we have wonderful spouses, everybody. We love them.
Actually, we do.
We do.
It's really hard, though, when you're smarter than everyone.
Well.
Yeah.
Tell us about it, Mom. Well, Derek worked in the produce department of Chinooks for, like, 7 years or something, like, on and off through high school and college. So, like, I don't even like.
So, he's our produce specialist.
I don't like to buy produce or, like, talk about it because they'll be like, "Well, it's not quite, you know, that's how you tell if
I'm
like,
okay,
this. Okay."
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure that's how he feels when he talks about anything with like fabric around me or something. I stopped reading a book because it had the sentence, like, it said, "The kick pleats were fluttering around her heels." And I was like, "Kick pleats aren't near your heels.
Not
a kick
really.
Pleat is at your knees on
so
a very straight skirt." This person did not have kick pleats at their heels. And I was just like, I can't read this book. And that's how annoying I am. Okay. I realize that I'm being totally pretentious. Anywho. Okay. So Quinn, you know, I said, "Hey, wash a sample." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, duh. That's what I should do." And she's just going to wash it in her sink and it's all happy and everything. Right. But we wanted to talk a little bit about what does make fabric shrink.
Right.
So you should really read the manufacturer's instructions if you can, because there aren't hard and fast rules necessarily for all fibers.
Exactly. And also, sometimes those instructions, now I don't want to screw everybody up here, but sometimes they're more like, what do I want to say? The manufacturer is protecting themselves.
Yeah, they're covering their butts. Yeah.
So if I get a rayon blouse and it says dry clean only, I probably know I don't have to because of the experience I've had with rayon.
Yeah.
I know how I can launder my rayon, right?
Mm-hmm.
A ready-made rayon, and it won't shrink and it will be okay. But they do put that on there in case someone goes like wild crazy with how they wash this and it shrinks up and then, you know, and then they've got to complain.
And it frays up and they're
so
queen.
They will put the instructions on that are the most cautious. But that doesn't mean they're wrong.
Okay, so that's on, you know, ready to wear.
Right.
But I would pay attention when you're buying fabric.
Right.
Because, and I just want to say I did this. I had a cotton linen blend and I made an easy tea out of it, okay? Well, first I had cotton linen blend A, and I made an easy tea out of it. And I pre-washed the fabric, and I washed and dried that thing to the end of time.
Right.
And it was amazing, and it was fine. But there was this other cotton linen blend, and I was like, it said not to dry it. And it said, don't dry, you know, or it'll shrink. And I was like, well, I did do that with the other one, you know. No, it did. It shrunk, and it shrunk again, and it shrunk again. You know,
again.
And I was like, crap, you know.
And that's the other thing that can happen.
So,
like, with Quinn, I think she should do it twice, at least, or something.
Or, you know.
Or three times.
You know, with silk organza, I guess, is that something that you've experienced a lot of shrinkage with? I don't think.
Well, no, because I do bathtub wash it,
right,
probably.
Yeah.
Or I wash it gentle on cold in a lingerie bag or so. You know, I'm probably very, very careful with it. And it doesn't go in the dryer except maybe on a fluff cycle or something.
So, and that's what she was planning to do. So good on you, Quinn.
So,
you
know, right. I mean, you know, there are those things that you're like, this is just so dirty. It's got to be washed. I don't care how it comes out because I can't wear it if it smells or is like this. And you throw it in and you do your best. And if it comes out, you're like just surprised. So,
well,
but I mean, that's after a garment's been made is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, and you've stained it somehow or it's got body odor in it that doesn't seem to come out or, you know, even with dry cleaning, it just has, you know, it doesn't get clean anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, shrinking can happen over time, too. So we always, you know, we're always telling you be real gentle with your clothes. ZD doesn't dry anything all the way. I do. I'm lazy. But
well,
if you notice,
I don't dry my delicates all the way. Yes, I dry like my towels.
Yeah,
my
but
sheets
there you go.
All the way.
So be careful. But heat can shrink things. Hot water as well
as the dryer. Well, hot water is heat.
No, I'm just saying, I kind of emphasize the dryer.
And dryer
heat,
right. So hot is usually what shrinks things. Now, water, though, can also felt things.
Like agitate, yes, the water and the agitation.
The agitation can cause things to felt or mat. Mat would probably be, like, the real word.
Well,
felt
is felting.
The nice word.
Right,
felt is the nice word for mat. Well, the other thing, like you said, it was a cotton-linen blend.
Yeah.
So here's what
I should have known.
But here's what can happen. Mm-hmm. They have pre-treated the fibers. Maybe. Or maybe they haven't. So they say they want this dry cleaned. They don't want you to ever put water on it. Because maybe it hasn't been treated. They haven't been treated together or whatever. So what can happen is, this cotton fiber keeps shrinking and the linen doesn't.
It's not.
Okay?
Right.
So now sometimes you can get a really good effect.
Yeah.
If you're looking for something, you'll get something and it will be like, it will come out kind of bubbly. And that'd be kind of a neat look after you. And that's happened to me often on like home deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't mind this look.
Right.
And now I know I can wash it again and again too.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. So just be aware, you can test if you're going to make some big garment, you know, you can order extra fabric or you can say, you know, I'll be able to get a few pattern pieces out of this yard long piece. So it's okay to cut it off, you know. So that is something that you can do is wash large samples in that way. Yeah, I wish I would have paid attention to the manufacturer's instructions. And, you know, it only shrank vertically.
Right.
So I just wonder, like, so whatever fiber was in the warp was the one that wasn't treated.
Exactly.
And it's the one that's shrinking, you know.
Right.
So
it, you know, very well could have been the cotton fiber and not the linen fiber.
Yeah,
whatever.
And I don't know idea.
Well,
I didn't put it in my saute pan.
Yeah, you didn't.
I didn't cook it up.
I saw that.
Just be aware. And, you know, if you hand wash something cold and let it air dry, that's really safe.
It's the safest you can do.
And
the other thing you might not want to do is use detergent.
Uh-huh.
Use soap. So use something like shampoo. You know, even something like a Castile. Make sure these shampoos and things don't have, like, oils in them.
And there are special, like that soak stuff that you can use to wash, and you actually don't have to rinse them out.
Right.
That is, that wash was originally, I think it was originally made for knits, like knitwear that you create, or that's where I saw it most often, but they're selling it like for intimates now. And
I like cheap shampoo.
Yeah.
That works, you know, something that, and like I said, you don't want it to have like an oil that it's going to deposit or something.
Okay, I'm just going to go off. I mean, we're going to end the podcast on a tangent.
Okay. Let's really mix everybody up.
I don't know if this product will ever sponsor us or anything, but who knows? That Lumi deodorant stuff.
Mallory's in love with Lumi deodorant.
I am obsessed. So I think in our episode about deodorant residue, I was like, well, the one thing I haven't tried, you know, is this deodorant. And it's really interesting, everybody. And I've been using it for, I don't know, a couple months now.
Yeah.
I think.
You know,
because I was like telling you
about it. I need to order some.
You haven't ordered any.
I want it for under the boobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a deodorant. It is not an antiperspirant. Okay. So you will sweat. In fact, I got my hair cut and I was under that like polypropylene cape.
Oh, gosh. And, you know, air.
Okay, yeah. I was wearing a camisole under a button-up. So I took the button-up off so that I wouldn't get, like, hair all over it, you know?
So you were dripping.
I literally, like, sweat dripped down my – it was gross. I mean, sorry.
Well, it's been extremely humid here, too.
It was so humid. Right. I was under this, you know, plastic cape, and I was like, this is so gross. But I didn't smell like anything.
Yeah,
this
well,
stuff,
and that's the other thing about it. Even it's – it comes in scents,
yeah,
but like the scent seems to go away after a while.
Yeah, no, so it's not like
so
a perfume.
So you don't like walk in and right. go, I'm lavender.
Okay,
yeah.
It smells a little weird. Everybody says
okay,
this.
Everybody
in the
says
comments.
That, been me.
Yeah,
I didn't
Mom
mind
and
how it smelled.
Weird.
Yeah.
When you first get it, so if you try this stuff out and you're like, oh my God, Mallory sent me this stuff and it smells so weird. Okay, so like whatever the underlying product is, like the unscented stuff, I think it smells a little weird.
Right.
But you put it on your body and it dries and the scent just like goes away. And so I was talking about how sometimes when I wear artificial fibers, like, I mean, artificial, you know, man-made.
Man-made.
Polyester, nylon. When I wear like polyester or nylon,
it will tend
underwear,
to hold on to an odor sometimes.
It makes
yeah.
a weird odor. Mm-hmm. And Haley from the Very Serious Crafts podcast, the Bones and Bobbins podcast, she said this too. She's like, yeah, I just get this like strange smell and it's not my body. It's like, you know, you take the underwear off and they smell weird, right?
No, I find that with dog collars.
Uh-huh.
Like
when you wear
a lot of them are
collar.
When I wear my dog collar. But no, you know, they're nylon.
Yeah.
And some of them don't. I put my dog, okay, here you go. How do you clean a dog collar? You put it in the washing machine in a knit bag, okay,
yeah.
with the dog's bedding. That's how I do it. But anyway, no, sometimes they don't, it doesn't smell like the dog anymore, but it smells weird.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I'll just get real graphic here. You can turn off the podcast if you want. But I use the deodorant on my underarms, and then I use the, like, lotion product. It's the same product. They're just packaged differently.
Right.
So I could have used the whatever.
Because the underarm is just kind of a push-up thing.
Yeah, it's like it right. sort of, you know, helps you apply
it. Right. It's an applicator,
right.
really. Yeah.
So I use the lotion package stuff in, like, the crotch area.
Yeah.
You know? And so I did that, and I wore my poly and nylon
right.
undies, and, like, there's just no smell.
Right.
There's just no smell. And so this product, I feel, has allowed me to re-wear clothing.
Oh.
Okay.
And
like
not wash
more
it every
than
single
one
time
day.
Or
yes.
Something. Yeah.
So like a pair of leggings that's fitting pretty close to your body, right, everybody?
Well, and Mallory does CrossFit. You know,
yeah.
I do aerial and things. And so it can get kind of close
oh my gosh.
Between your legs.
Actually, I think it's really funny to, I guess, don't tell my CrossFit people that I said this, but like everybody's got different butt and crotch sweat patterns.
Yes, no, they do. They do. One's
so
a triangle.
I'll like, look
one,
around. I'm
yeah.
like, that person's a butt sweater. That
yeah,
person,
right.
you know, this. And so we
or
were.
Yeah, a boob sweater.
A boob sweater.
Right,
this,
right.
You know, and so it's just funny. But it, yeah, I actually wore the same pair of leggings to a CrossFit class.
Right.
There was no odor. So you can read on their website sort of how they say this happens. They say that they're stopping the bacterial
right, they're stopping the growth.
Activity.
Right.
You know, completely or whatever.
So it's L-U-M-E.
Yeah,
does it
L-U-M-E.
Does it have an accent or not? But that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah. I think it's pronounced Lumi.
It is. It is.
It is. It is.
It is. I checked it out.
They have funny ads.
All over Facebook.
So you do, it's like you have to wash your body and then put it on. You know,
right.
you need a clean body. And yeah, I'm happy with it for what it's doing for my clothing, for me to be able to rewear, you know, certain things and not wash them right away. You know, because like yesterday I wore these leggings for like only 3 or 4 hours. But normally I probably wouldn't feel comfortable like wearing them again or it depends on the day.
You know, in conserving resources.
Yeah.
Not having to wash things a lot or it is actually one of the first things you should think about.
Well, that's
how much time you're spending cleaning things.
That's what we were discussing in that deodorant episode, because I was like, right. I want to balance caring for the clothing, which means not washing it a whole bunch.
Right.
But then I've got this residue from the antiperspirant in the deodorant.
Which wears the clothing out also.
And I don't find that the Lumi leaves a residue either. I think it's a really cool product. So I would just say, you know, you can give it a try.
If we were costuming again, we could like require everyone wears
it. There we go. But yeah, it seems to also, you know, I've really been thinking about how it's benefiting my clothing slash
Mallory's life
slash
has
wardrobe.
Changed.
Yeah, I just freaking love it.
Obviously,
you know?
You should endorse this product.
And some people say it lets them go like longer between showering too. Mm. Now, okay, I just have to shower after CrossFit.
Well, some of that's a hot habit too. Like you don't feel right if you don't have your shower. Some people, their shower is their morning ritual or their evening ritual or whatever.
But anyway, I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I'm saying
we probably use too much water bathing. It's probably our biggest thing.
Absolutely, we do.
Yeah, we bathe a lot.
100%.
We're bathers.
Actually, the hairstylist told me not to do hot water in my hair. And so I was like,
is it kind of difficult?
Cold showers or something? I was like, well, our bills love you.
There's a difference between hot and warm also.
Yeah. All right. Well,
those are our
PDF patterns.
Right. These are our sewing.
New York Times washing machine and dryer
reviews. This is our sewing information with all of our other crap stuck in there.
Yes. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.